The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Y's. Movies, Baby!
We have a van.
Are you a rock monster?
Bite your teeth. Beat your teeth.
Beat your meat. Teeth your geese. Skeet your brief.
Are you excited for this week's Dracula review?
That was like the riff, but backwards.
Review.
We are getting spooky on episode 4 of Dracula season 4, which is Monsters of Rock. And we have a super special monster guest this week.
Miss Meredith Cheridith. Mary Cherry is on with us.
Mary Cherry is here. Listen, we do the recap, and then Mary Cherry joins us at the end for an interview. So strap in, pull that little roller coaster seat down, and get ready to be electrocutioned by the Dreadnought Electrocutioner, because it's time for another episode of
Spooky Second. And thank you, everyone who sent me the Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande information. I am well aware of
we
the
will
wicked
be
casting.
Talking about
we'll get inside. There later. Okay. Goodbye.
Forever Dog.
When your first choice is a big old bus,
you turn around and boom, you end up with us.
Hello, Foglies. We are your
Goulash Gals.
Ghouls. And welcome to
Spooky Seconds, which means it's a Friday. So we are being spooky.
On the note of being spooky.
What? Sorry?
I said on the note of being spooky.
We did get an email.
Yes, from a good friend named, well, not a good friend anymore. They came right into our inbox. We might bleep that. Can y'all drop the spooky thing altogether? You're not very good at it and more annoying than you realize. Your personalities and your opinions of the episodes work just fine. To which I responded, don't listen.
Also, just take a little more time to proofread your email. There's a couple things missing. The wrong words.
Okay, no. Right. We're not going to drag someone over that.
Okay, but they can drag us over being creative and putting something, some free content out into the world that listen to.
And I want y'all to know that we're not going to dwell on this, but I will say we have been doing a podcast for like over 3 years, longer if you include anyway, we've been annoying the whole time.
The whole time. Our brand is built on annoying.
Yeah, so I don't understand.
Meatball sings in the theme song. We chose annoying from the jump.
And on that, let's get into our
spooky recap.
This is episode 4, Monsters of Rock. Always the best episode of every season.
This episode, I was screaming the whole time. This was such good TV.
This was
shout
the best
out
episode
to the Boulay Brothers.
Boulay Brothers
shout
Dracula
out to
of all time.
The team. Like, this was so good. I loved this. I was screaming the whole time. The looks were good. All the edits were good. I mean, this was good-ass TV. Here
this was
for
great
it.
Television.
Oh, and we do have a special guest joining us. She's coming a little later.
Figured it would be best if we got through our whole review and then spoke to them.
That's right. But you know who it is because
she
looked
already
at the
tweeted about it.
Well, she tweeted about it before we recorded. But also, you looked at the title when you clicked play. So the title says Mary Cherry's on the yeah. show. She'll be joining us later. But quickly, Meatball and I are going to recap this episode. So let's get into it here. Last week, remember, was the Weird Wild West. Weird mm-hmm. Wild West. And everyone wanted to fuck Dolly. That trend continues this week as well.
Yeah, baby. Give me that. And Dick Daddy.
And La Zavaleta won the challenge. Everyone had to ride that mechanical bull. Everyone did for the extermination. And then our big titty diva Coco was exterminated. Sad to see her go.
Very sad to see her go. Yeah, confused as to how they decide.
They get to decide whatever they want. It's their show.
Yes, but then don't say that it's based on the... Anyway, this week's episode starts well with some sweet, sweet little beefy boys, and I knew most of them.
The Hog.
It's a strip club. Oh, another thing that we've been getting is like three emails saying that in these opening sequences, they give you a clue as to who goes home at the end. So, like you said, the Here Piggy Piggy in the Weird Wild West, it was Coco because she was a piggy. Before that, it was the mask thing, and they sent home the mask, which you called out. And then Astrid, I forgot. There was some. Oh, they just were like, "That's a hideous outfit," and apparently she had the most hideous outfit.
Oh wow!
So in this episode, what is the clue that a drink got spilled on her? And Mary's messy? Like, I don't...
because this scene, there was no dialogue in this scene. The Boulets came in, God. And they were punk rock, and one of the strippers who... Do you see what I wrote on there? Was that Darren Stein?
Was the bald one Darren Stein? No, it was Bruin. Well, there was Bruin and Drew, and then J-Flo Lefty was the other one with the big booty dancing. There were, like, many more.
And then in the beginning, I thought Ian was getting a whole... scene to himself because he was sitting there doing cocaine and counting money.
And to be honest, if that's all the money you're getting from cocaine sales, maybe go into a different business.
Stop.
I was like,
maybe
counting $800 twice.
Maybe those were big twice. Okay, so but then a stripper spills a drink on the Boulets, and
they snap their little fingies,
and then the stripper gets murdered by the other stripper with like
his thighs.
Thunder thighs of steel.
Horny.
It was very horny. Scene. I liked the scene. I'm curious why there was no dialogue. Maybe they just...
Maybe,
I don't
know. There's strength in silence, especially for non-actors. And then...
So back in the boudoir.
Back in the boudoir. All the monsters are sore from riding the mechanical bull.
Oh my God.
Which they were...
When Mary said, "I'm 38, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I would be a mess the next day.
I had to I had to jump down off of a 5-foot stage the other day, and I was like, this might be it. This might be what
this might be it for
me.
They got me, gal. And then one of my favorite moments is when the conversation just goes like, how did you feel about both people up for extermination? And people are just talking very explicitly about their likes and dislikes of the other people, not knowing who's going to walk in from around the other side of that wall.
It seems like maybe now it's not. Maybe now they're not listening on the other side. Maybe they did that just for Zavaleta because like. Saint came in and wasn't like, you were talking bad about me, or like,
well,
you were saying
I was
really
talking bad about Saint. They were mostly talking about how Coco seemed defeated before she even competed.
True.
So, but Saint reappears. She said that she held on for dear life on that bull. And then all of a sudden we get a video message and they run upstairs to watch the video.
No, I found out
what
from a contestant that will not mention who. That the boudoir is, in fact, in the globe. But it's,
amazing.
At the entrance of the... Like, it's at the front.
Oh, so it's not in the basement.
In the basement, so that's why it's able to have a taller
be
roof.
Be so tall. That, I mean, listen, the globe, that's a huge building. So, for them
but
to...
Then
not-
but then why not just swing it back to the workroom instead of going to the cauldron?
Maybe it's about lights, like pre-lighting, post-lighting, crew. Yeah. You know, there are a lot of logistics in producing a TV show. I know about 4% of what that's like by producing a podcast on a Zoom call.
Well, I was on a TV show, and I will say, there's a lot of logistics, but they have a big team. Now, we're on to the video message, the annual Monsters of Rock
You're
team
talking
challenge.
About Pretty Smarts when you were on Pretty Smarts.
I was on Pretty Smarts. Now, create a Monsters of Rock solo look, mm-hmm. which makes sense. So that's going to be their runway or the main stage or the
floor show.
Now, number two, they create two bands and they have to compete in a Monster of Rock show of monster proportions, and they have to choreograph it, lip sync it, and make it all happen together.
Yeah, and a unified band look. So they have two looks that they have to present.
Yes.
And both of the bands will be performing to Poppy's song, Bite Your Teeth.
Bite Your Teeth. And Poppy will also be a guest judge. Now, oh, and the winner will be in a... No, we took that out.
I forgot.
But the winner gets
sentence.
To be in the Heavy Metal magazine, which is really that's a
to
great
be their
gift.
Character that they present as part of the challenge will become animated and inserted into a comic book story in Heavy Metal magazine, which is very fucking cool.
And then the Boulets just say it like it is. We've split you into teams in order to piss you off
and create
and
drama.
They did, Mama? That is good producing, and they said it to our faces too.
How did they know? I mean, I knew that. Sigourney because... and Mary had beef, but I didn't think Jade and wait, were those weren't the pairs? Jade and Betty were paired previously at Nosferatu's
Saint
beach parties.
And Zavaleta were paired. Dolly and Hoso were paired. And Sigourney was paired with Coco. So, or no,
Mary was paired with Coco,
and Sigourney was paired with
Astrid.
So it is everyone is basically in their pairs.
Mm.
Wow. Well, and then they assign lead singers.
And who, when they assign lead singers, they also say...
of the team. They are the leaders of the band.
It's explicitly mentioned that they are the leaders of the team.
It seems like everyone heard that except for Mary Cherry.
There were eight people listening. Seven of them heard what was said.
Well, it also didn't seem like Jade or Betty heard it either because they never at any point...
Oh, no.
Oh, maybe they were, because I remember when they were on stage fighting, and she was like, "So you're the leader. So are you the lead singer or are you the group leader?" And I think Jade and Betty were both like, "She's both."
Girl, that sounded like selective listening on Mary's part to be like, "Well, I want to be in charge. I want my ideas heard, so I didn't hear that you were the leader."
So
back in
the
boudoir.
Split them up. Oh, yeah.
Back in the boudoir, there's no fright feet. And there's no fear factor moment. They just jump right into it. And it is already clear that Mary and Sigourney have beef. Yes. No, totally.
It was very clear from the beginning that they were like, let's do this. And they were over on the other side being like, no. Like just fighting from the get-go.
Yeah, that second team.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's to begin with, there seems like there are two arguments. There's Betty and Jade sort of like snipping at each other, and then Mary and Sigourney are having fundamental differences about what the challenge should be. So one seems petty and the other seems more fundamental, and then they all grow to just be petty.
Yeah.
All the arguments.
And what did you think of the argument? Because Sigourney was like, we should be really pretty and beautiful rock stars. And I think that's where the first disagreement happened between her and Mary. Because
and
Mary
I'm
was
not,
like, no, it's rock. We have to be dirty and grungy.
I feel like, yes. I feel like Sigourney looked around and was like, well, we're the pretty girls. Let's go be pretty. And I don't disagree with that. And at the end of the day, I think aside from what Mary was wearing, they all painted pretty. They all just were pretty girls.
They were doing glam rock. They were doing 80s glam rock. I mean,
and
it looked great.
Had they been more cohesive in their performance, it really would have worked. So I don't think there was anything inherently wrong with what Sigourney was saying about that. I think Mary was trying, it just felt like Mary was trying to pick a fight. It felt like whatever Sigourney was going to say, Mary was going to say the opposite and figure out a way to justify it. That's how it looked.
Yeah. It also felt like, and I am in no way defending Mary, but maybe she thought it was supposed to be a team collaborative effort, and it ended mm-hmm. up being that Sigourney was supposed to be the leader, and that just threw her. Like, I feel like there was a disconnect there. There was a disconnect in their styles of drag. And yes. it spiraled.
It definitely spiraled from something small. And I think ultimately the biggest misstep was in that first conversation. No one said out loud, well, Sigourney is the leader. She wasn't like, well, I'm the leader, but I definitely want to hear from all of you. Because had she led with that, everyone would have been like, yes, you are the leader. Or Mary would have been like, what? And that would have been
solved. And then it would have cleared it up instead of them literally doing a full rehearsal and then arguing at the end of rehearsal who was in charge.
But ultimately, what I will say,
Mary was never going to back down.
Correct.
Mary will never.
That is a fight that wanted to happen, that was going to happen, and there was no way that they were, like, kind of in the beginning, I was like, maybe they chatted with one another and they were like, let's really do a fight and then team up and win. But, like, you know, off to the side that they had made that plan. But it just seemed like they had fundamental personality differences and they will never get along.
Oh, never, 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 unfortunately.
So,
let's move forward. But I do want to say, because when they gave the challenge this time, unlike the Vampire Beach Party, Nosferatu Beach Party, this one was clear in what the directive was and what to expect, which is a choreographed lip sync, two groups, one song, let's do it.
Yeah.
Whereas I think there was a lot of confusion from the audience and other people on the Nosferatu one, because it was like, what are they doing?
So you'll never back down? Is that what you're saying? That was two episodes ago. Why are you trying to bring that up?
I'm just saying that it's a similar challenge, but this one was executed better because I think they knew what they were supposed to do.
Yes. This one was very, very clear, which is, I think, why it was even more sort of jaw-dropping that 40 minutes into the TV show, Mary's like, who said you were the leader, babes? And you're like, no, it was so clear.
She hit her with the babes. I was like, Mary, was like, this is not the right hill to die
it
on.
It is so clear. I also do want to, like, note, because it just seems like their emotions were so high. Like, Jade was really going through it and, like, felt like she wasn't representing herself and wasn't using her voice.
That's
and
Mary, she wasn't, like, getting notes.
Pulled her aside to, like, be like, let that shit go and just be here. They did a primal scream together. Like, it really felt like they were trying to become a team. But you know when you're like,
if any of those girls were actually her teammates, they would have said, Mary, you still have green paint in your ear.
You know what? Fuck. I want to ask her about that too, that green. But you know when you're like, when you're fighting with someone, or I sometimes do this on the podcast where it's like, I get focused on something and I can't stop bringing it up or can't stop talking about it.
Oh, absolutely.
Or if you're fighting with someone, you're just like, I can't stop picking this fight. It kind of felt like at a certain point, that whole Glamrot team, they were just like, well, no matter what Jade says, I'm going to disagree with her. And it's like, fuck, man. They just couldn't catch a break.
Yeah. Out of everybody
from themselves.
Like, yeah. They really were pushing Jade's opinions completely to the side. They were like, we don't care about your opinion. And I feel like that kind of keeps happening to her.
Yeah.
Throughout the whole show. Anyway. Okay, where were we?
I think what we can really sort of sum the whole thing up is that Dolly says, no, it's not awkward. It's more like secondhand embarrassment to watch them fight when she's looking at the other team.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was, it was hard to watch. This whole episode was hard to watch.
Hard to watch. All right. Well, let's take a break. And
but you know who wasn't hard to watch? Dolly. Hey, Dolly. Are you ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back.
Get 15% cash back at hundreds of stores, including headliners like Bombas, Elf Cosmetics, and Hotels.com.
Rakuten is how in-the-know shoppers get the best savings. They shop the brands they love and earn cash back on top of deals.
During Big Give Week, May 6th through May 13th, the cashback rates are even bigger with Rakuten. But only for a limited time.
You can save on everything you need for summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel.
And Rakuten deposits your cash back directly into your PayPal account, or they can send you a check.
Rakuten really is the best way to shop.
Membership is free, and when you sign up and shop today, you get an extra 10% cash back boost.
That's an extra 10% cash back on top of the 15% cash back. You won't see higher cash back rates than these.
Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app.
Rakuten.
Shoppers get it.
Rakuten.
Okay, we are back. And we're back. The next day.
Ooh, we're back.
Oh, we are back. And it's Dolly. The next day.
How about you come fuck me some? Okay, what were we doing? Next day, and Sigourney is working on a black pleather outfit for Mary, and it's taking longer than 2 hours.
Mary was like, oh, you told me this would take 2 hours. Here we are, a day and a half later.
That interaction, and also to say that in a room full of people who are watching your team spiral is antagonistic in a way that it shouldn't be.
So basically, they were meant to all have a unified look. Everyone seemed to have something black, patent leather, except for Mary. So Sigourney was like, I'll make something for you. And then Mary wasn't helping, but Sigourney was refusing help. But Mary doesn't have the sewing skills. But she could have helped in another way. But Sigourney was saying...
It seemed like there was other stuff they could be doing, maybe.
Correct. But Sigourney was like, no, I'll handle it. And then... While all that was going on, they're doing their like producer interviews, which everyone can hear. And so it just fueled the passive aggressive communication because they're sitting there talking about one another in front of one another to a third party.
Wearing that little hat the whole fucking time.
This is what I'm talking about, good TV. This, I was like literally cheering at my computer screen. I was like,
oh, I
this
was too.
Is what I want to see.
Well, because they were really, not only did they pit them against each other, then they were like, hey, talk shit about each other 5 feet from each other.
Yes.
While we already know that you guys aren't even like getting along. Oh, okay. It was great.
And then the biggest sort of blow up moment before they get up on the floor show is that the producers ask Sigourney, like, well, what do you think's going to happen? And she says, I'm just going to trust in my teammates' abilities and hope for the best.
And then Mary Cherry steps in with I'd never say I'd hope for the best. Hope for the best. That's not a team leader thing to say or whatever. And
right,
then they
that's
cut
not,
to
that's not optimistic. And it's like, it's inherently optimistic.
Yeah, we're hoping. Baby, that's
I'm
optimism.
Hoping for the best.
For the best. I think if you look up optimism, I think the definition is hope for the best.
It's actually a photo of Sigourney Weaver saying, I'll hope for the best.
No, actually, it's a gif of Mary Cherry saying hope for the best twice in the episode before.
Yo, and then this, when I was like, they cut back to 2 episodes ago when Mary was with Coco and their team wasn't working very well. And she said, let's just hope for the best. That is some good ass.
Someone like, went in there and was like, I know she said that once.
She
or twice.
Definitely
like,
said it.
They had to have seen it or say it so many times that they were like, oh, we're going to go find it. And then again, it's my favorite time of the episode. Alert, alert. The floor show is about to begin.
Show is starting. Girl.
They were all like, we get it. We're not going to keep. We don't even have the energy to do this joke anymore.
Hoso was like probably doing some intricate makeup on her face. There's a shot of her in the mirror going like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Slowly painting her face. Fuck.
How long do you think they have to get ready?
I feel like 3 hours. But let me say this. Drag Race UK fucking
they did
stole
it
this idea.
Yeah.
They were the Boulets are building suspense over there. We're going to take that idea. They snatched that right on.
And then on Drag Race UK, they all got ready in like 60 minutes or whatever. And then RuPaul went from being out of drag to in drag in the same amount of time. Find that hard to believe.
False.
Find that hard to believe.
Let's talk about this floor show because, baby.
Mama, these
darling,
are the looks.
The Boulets. Killed this.
They
look the big hair.
So good. I honestly love them in a leotard like this. I love them.
They
showing
look incredible.
So much
they
body.
Look like fucking superheroes.
I know. They look like Lady Death. Do you know Lady Death?
I don't.
She looks like that.
You know, this world, even though we're doing
Madeline Hatter hair too from season whatever. Yeah.
Their hair looks incredible. The outfits look great. They had huge pyrotechnics. You could also tell that, you know, not to take words out of their mouth, but they were feeling cunty, hunty. They were really feeling it.
They were feeling themselves that day because they had those little claws on, those little bird claws. They were living their fantasy.
It was everything to me. I was like, I would see this all the time.
Also, like, they were probably sitting in the dressing room when they were getting ready, just like hearing from the producers all the drama. They were probably just so happy.
Oh my God. They were like, oh my God, they're fighting. The girls are fighting.
I can't wait
and
to
I
see
look
it.
Like this. The girls are fighting and I look like this. Tima, bring it on.
Give them the Emmy. So this week we have special guest judges Poppy and Rachel True, who does not age.
Out of the craft, half and half. I mean, she looks the same.
She looks exactly the same.
Do you know that she's almost 60?
Beautiful. I love her.
She drinks like carrot juice every day.
What are you drinking right now? Celery water.
Mint lemonade.
Okay. And Poppy is there. And now I know Poppy from the YouTubes. And
yes,
I guess
she does like metal music now.
That's great. Good for them. The floor show begins. La Zavaleta comes out in a studded glamour rock with a pyro stick, which was very cool.
Her pyro stick prop was cool. It harkened back to like Lady Gaga's disco stick. Remember that 2009? And I thought that her look was so cool because she had a bald, correct me if I'm wrong, she put a bald cap over her bald head. So she still looked very much like herself, not like a character. But then she had safety pins in her head.
Oh, I thought they were just like glued. The ones on her forehead were just like glued to the forehead.
It was like metal and then skin and then metal.
I think it's just glued to her head.
Daddy Dali is like a devil clown.
Yeah, and I also like, I don't know if you noticed, but the mustache is always like very, I mean, it's Dali, but it like goes like two different directions.
Salvador? And,
like, it's so hot.
Did you think this was a Club Kid boot? Like Little Baby Formaldehyde went home?
It was a Club Kid boot. No. The Club Kid boot curse only exists in the first episode. Yeah. Oh. And then after that, you're free. But you can't have your first floor show in a Club Kid boot. It should be in a cunt heel or like something crazy on your
foot.
And
what did Eva call the name? There's a name for the Club Kid boot.
Wasn't it like a diet? Yeah, there's a name for it. But I
tell
can't
us how stupid we are and send a message.
Yeah, let us know.
Betty. Okay, what I thought of this was Pebbles from the Flintstones. If she grew up to be a glam rocker.
Yes. Well, yes, because of the fabric, the yellow zebra or whatever.
Yeah, it was like tiger. It was like sort of cartoonishly tiger.
I mean, watching her, I got exactly what she was serving, which was the glam rock girl, the girl on the hood of the car crawling around in like a Def Leppard video. Like, and I loved it.
I love that she was one of the best either. Ones.
Yeah, she's letting her dick out.
She loves to do that.
She does. Have you seen that video?
Of her in the shower?
In the shower.
Just fully naked going, oh, are you scared? Shaking her dick at you. Fuck up. Hoso. Hoso looks like an incredible like K-pop monster girl.
Yeah, I was getting very, well, like they said, MySpace era. What did they call that?
Scene kids.
Yeah. I was getting that. Which was so funny because it's the glasses over her insane eyes.
Yeah, she looks incredible.
Did you like that or no? Okay. Now then, Sigourney was there, and it was Kiss meets Marie Antoinette meets metal meets hardcore rock. I loved it. I thought
it was
great.
A lot, and it was so cool.
The fan flipping. I mean, it was just so beautiful.
Yeah.
I love Sigourney's looks. I love everything about that. I would like to see her, like, dirty it up.
Like, yeah, once. I mean, yeah. And I feel like what's going to happen is, like, she obviously did well this week. I feel like next week there will be a critique or they'll call her out and they'll say specifically your challenge is to look like a corpse, be dead, be dirty. Like, they're going to say that, but that's the type of shit that always happens, right? Like, where, like, yeah, someone is so good at what they do that they go, like, show us one other version of this where you're a little less, you know, specifically what you always do.
Yeah.
A little more out of the box. And speaking of the next diva on the docket here, Mary Cherry, guess who just entered the waiting room? Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, our special guest, Mary Cherry. Okay, we are back. And now Mary, we did.
there's something wrong with the internet today.
We spoke to Mary. She's in the waiting room. We did have her.
But she said, let me finish this soup.
Not even finish. She said, I'm going to make some soup. No, she's going to go get some trade.
Get some trade.
To deliver her some soup.
And the Anyhow, soup is to come.
Let's continue now, let's with the floor show.
Let's get back to where
show.
We started. We're finishing where we were at.
Mary Cherry
comes out as the devil showgirl with the horns.
It's Elton John, but it's kind of devilish. It's a little showgirl and it's a little rocket man.
Best she's ever looked, in my opinion.
And then she crunched that beer can with her titty.
Now, I wish she would have done it like she does in Brooklyn, and I've seen it. She takes the titty out. She gets her tit all the way out and then slams it down on that thing.
Slams it down. Yeah, that's always a good stunt.
It's a really good show at Metropolitan.
Saint comes out looking like a human motorcycle.
That was a Mugler-inspired outfit, and it
If you're looking for ooky spooky fashionista, make your way over to Saint.
It was gorgeous. It was great to pull that inspiration to make... I don't know who made that, if she made that, but it was incredible.
And I liked that it was like referencing like a metal look, but it was moving. It like had a little flexibility.
Well, it was made out
it.
Of foam. If she had actually had that made out of like a hard plastic and painted to be metal, I think that would have been a lot more expensive and difficult.
I'm saying I liked that it moved because I felt like it was like a, it wasn't a replica of a garment, but it was inspired by.
But she still got notes about her performance on the runway. They were like, I wish you would have used the costume more.
Girl,
she had like little handlebars on her, like on her hips and like the mirrors. I was like, she didn't even like it. I don't even remember her like touching it sensually or doing anything to it.
Can she become a runway girl like Bimini and like those Drag Race UK girls? Like, I feel like Bimini, she should just... What?
When she would walk, would like, there'd be some energy behind it.
But Saint has... What Saint is lacking in energy when it comes to that sort of stage show performance, it's because the other people are going like, spitting blood and pulling their tongue out. I feel like Saint stomps in a fashion way.
This competition isn't just about the fashion. It's
so
about
I'm
what
saying
you can...
away from this competition, can she go be a runway girl?
Oh, absolutely. Probably.
I want the brands
she's
to scoop
gonna
her
get
up.
Signed. Yeah, she's
this
already
saying,
signed by a modeling
saying.
Agency. Okay.
Okay. Jade, how did you feel about this? The color palette was extremely different from all the other divas.
I liked it. It was like if Taylor Swift had done a bunch of cocaine.
It was
you
like
know?
It,
or like me
had...
in Palm Springs. A ton of cocaine, more cocaine than any human. I almost ended up in the hospital.
Her bra was like Cabbage Patch Kid dolls, their heads.
Yeah, that reminded me. Remember when Abora on their season did like not Cabbage Patch dolls, but like baby doll titties and then like milk shot out of them? Oh, well, she did that. It would have been cool if something would have shot out of them.
When did we get the bitch pudding cameo?
That was at the very top. She's cleaning the bathroom, and then it shows all the go-go dancers, and then the boules walk in.
Oh, that was at the very beginning?
Yeah. Oh. Our first cameo girl, our first carryover girl.
I'm sorry
season.
To randomly bring that up at the end of the runway, but
she was great.
I just had a flash of that. And then, okay, so after the floor show.
I liked the breaking of the guitar. Never seen that on this show.
I also...
And it was a... real electric guitar. It wasn't
which is like
shoot,
that's
expensive.
Heavy,
that was at least like
$500 for that prop.
Girl. So then after this, we get the Monsters of Rock. This is the Battle of the Bands.
And it's Zenith, which is the team that Dali is on and mm-hmm. running, the lead singer, the leader of.
Doing the lead.
And Glam Rot, which is Sigourney's team.
Right. Now, thoughts on this?
I mean, I agree with everything the judge just said. Zenith was cohesive. It was clear that they were all agreeing on stuff. It came together for them to all spit the blood out. There was that gag. And it seemed like the other group was so concerned about, like, well, when am I going to pick up the glitter? How am I going to hold this glitter? If we're going to do this glitter gag. And Zenith was just like, okay, and at this point in the song, we'll all turn around and you'll pour it into each one of our mouths and we'll make it part of the show.
Right.
Like, it seemed like because they were so agreeable, everything just happened nicer.
I will say I was surprised that the glam rock performance was as cohesive as it was, because based on the way they were
doing the little bops in time.
Not some people were in the going the right way. Other
I love
weren't.
That also they came for Hoso when the guitar strap like released. Like that was any of her doing. That was a prop that you got for her. Okay, it's not her fault.
Wow. Okay, so after the performances, my favorite part of the show is now this like little sibling chat.
It is the closest to them being human, normal people I have ever seen.
They're compassionate. They're invested. I love it. I literally love this part of the show. And they made it seem like on the second episode that it was going to be something they were just doing that day.
Yeah.
But now I love it. I hope they continue to do it. And they really break everything down. They're like, the solo looks were the best they've had so far on the series, but the bands were really underwhelming. I feel like, who was Eva on season 2 or 3?
3.
That Battle of the Bands was wild, but season 2 was like really good.
Yeah.
Right?
And I think in season 2, weren't they like on location?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. You know what I miss?
They also, what?
Locations. I know it's COVID, but I miss like seeing them out in the wild. Yeah.
So
also, wait. What? All that fighting about that skirt that Sigourney had to make, and I don't even think Mary was wearing it.
I think it was. She was, but it wasn't. Oh, okay. It was a skirt. That's all it was. It was like a maxi skirt. The Boulez, they get into the details of what went wrong with Mary's performance. Her wig fell off. She was wearing what they call slippers, and then her guitar got caught in Sigourney's cape and ripped it off.
Which is, to me, pretty punk rock. If you ask me.
When you wanted heels, I wore slippers. But here's that's the punk.
Thing. Here's
when
the thing.
You wanted wigs, I went bald. That's punk. When you wanted me to work with my teammate, not rip her costume off, but I went ahead and ripped it off anyways.
And fought with her the whole time. That's punk. But here's the thing. Earlier they praised her for always like falling apart and being a mess and going with
it.
And
this time they did it in this moment too. They were like, it's endearing.
Yeah, and I think it really is.
Yeah.
But the shoes were unforgivable, and I'll tell it to her face.
Tell it to her heart, honey. What would you have done? What would your look have been?
Oh, I would have gone classic, like, Def Leppard, leather jacket, big hair, headband, like, glam rock makeup, kind of like bitch pudding makeup, you know what I'm talking about? And fringe, so much fringe. Too much leather fringe.
And I guess they did.
And all black.
I think they really praised Betty, because if you think about it, I know that the monsters don't see the opening scene, but from the viewers, we see the opening scene, the Boulez are styled 80s. Mm-hmm. In the video message, they say glam rock because did they say there were the vampires and we ate our way
which
blood
answers
sucked.
The question about lore, they're vampires. They've said it,
and it says that they sucked their blood, or they sucked their way through the eight. Didn't they say something like that?
Yes, they said that.
So they name checked 80s.
Yes,
right. So my thought would be, I personally, if I wasn't trying to fit the brief, I would go like 90s nu metal, Limp Bizkit, Korn, JNCO jeans, chain wallet.
What is like, that Juggalo face?
Not, I wouldn't go Juggalo because that's like a little.
What,
too
you wouldn't be drinking
me.
Your little Faygo? What do they drink?
What?
Squirt?
Squirt.
No, they drink a drink.
Surge.
No, not Surge. But
Surge
they drink-
was like a more intense Mountain Dew, and we had to drive to Indiana to get it.
Did you ever mix it with booze?
No, because I was a middle schooler.
So was I, and I was doing booze cruises all over the place. we would we would swing by Sonic, grab us a big lemonade, drink half of it, throw half that crushed ice out, or eat it, and then pour in vodka. And then we would just drive around, just loops around the neighborhood, baby, just living our best life. So then Zenith wins Battle of the Bands. No, it's called. That's not what it's called.
It is. It's called Monsters of Rock Battle of the Bands.
Okay. So then
like
Zenith.
The challenge is called Monsters of Rock, but the band battle is called Battle of the Bands.
What'd you think of the song?
Well, I was surprised that Poppy made this because she used to make like pop music.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing around Poppy is that like she claims to be a computer. Like she claims to be AI. Obviously, she's just like a person. But there's a team of people that decide what Poppy's doing. She's not, at least my understanding is that she's not an independent artist. So there's like a whole creative team. And so I think it's interesting that they pivoted because I actually think she probably has a bigger following with her voice like that in a metal world than
oh absolutely
pop.
The song had so many different like I thought it was a great song because it was well I mean I wouldn't listen to it but it had so much dynamic stuff going on. It would change tempo, it was like hardcore, it went down, there was just a lot to play with, and I believe that Zenith played with the tempo and choreo better, and they won.
Yeah.
And then we find out for the extermination challenge that the whole team has to do it, not just the bottom two.
And Sigourney is plucked because...
They literally said, if your team would have won, you would have won.
Yeah, they literally were like, okay, Zenith wins. Dali, you're the winner. Your character, you know, will be in the comic book in Heavy Metal Magazine. And they basically said, Sigourney, you're number two.
But also number poo, because you're going to be doing the extermination
challenge.
But
before they talk about this, what happens, Diva? They go down the line.
I remember on my season, which is in no way comparable to this, but we had to do that.
How many people were left?
On ours? It was like a full, I think maybe 8-9 people. Like, it was early. And we all said Loris, even though I wanted to say Frankie Doom. But because everyone else
Loris.
Had said Loris and I was like second to last, I was like, I guess the choice has been made. So I just say Loris.
I guess that is true because imagine being like, so essentially the Boulets say, who should go home and why? Starts with Zava and it just sort of, it's like Zava, Hoso. Like they just go down the line and it's like Mary, 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 quite contrary, Mary. By the time it gets to Betty and Jade, it would feel kind of crazy for, like, it gets to Jade, and Jade out of nowhere is like, Dali, you're a cunt. You should go home. Like, it would just cause extra drama that was completely unnecessary. So, to me, it does make sense. It's like, if the vote's going to Mary, you might as well vote with the team.
Absolutely. And it was really hard to watch that, but also...
Mary was really hurt.
Yeah, which I've never seen her show emotion like that. I've never seen her hurt. So it was hard to watch. But also after watching that whole episode, it makes complete sense. She wasn't making any friends.
Yeah. Well, the whole team goes for the extermination. So it's Betty and Sigourney and Mary and Jade. And the extermination is what, honey?
They're going to get electrocuted, honey.
Why is it called the Dreadnought Electrocutioner? Sorry.
The Dreadnought Electrocutioner.
But why is it
called that? Dreadnought?
Name?
Dreadnought.
Why Dreadnought?
Maybe because it probably didn't hurt that bad. That is an attraction at this place called, should I just say it? 17 rooms in the OC. So, like, even like 13-year-old girls are going and getting electrocuted.
So what? They traveled them there?
I guess so. It's part of the attractions there. Unless there's another one closer to LA. But, like, that is just one of the rooms in that. Remember when they first walk in and they were in that rotating room with the clowns and they got put in those little tubes and they were, like, launch?
Yeah, the haunted house.
Yeah, it's the same place. Same place, different room. 17 rooms. That might be room 18, 19, 5. I don't know.
Wait, but the
It's not called Dreadnought. That's their name for it. The Boulez gave it a different name and then gave it a voiceover.
How? They really do create a whole narrative. Good for them. Fuck. Yeah,
so they used it as a set and did whatever they want.
17 rooms. Okay, amazing. So then, unfortunately, Mary gets murdered. Exterminated. And she makes her way through the strip club and good old thick thighs Bruin strangles her to death.
And I would let that man choke me with his cock.
Whoa.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa.
You know who has? You said first and last name?
Mama, it's a thing that happened. It's called the 17th door, my bad.
So we did it. Listen, I think Mary's soup is finally heated up. So we have a very special guest. Our last segment of the show is going to be an interview with the one and only Brooklyn's...
Mother of Brooklyn.
The mother of Brooklyn. That's what she calls herself?
The mother of Brooklyn drag.
The instigator herself. The overly honest diva and doll. This is a great
soup,
chat.
The soup gal.
The soup gal. We're the goulash ghouls, and she's the soup gal.
The soup gal. All right, thank you so much for listening.
We'll be back after this with Mary Cherry.
Oh, goodbye. And we're back.
Feeling very spooky and soupy.
We do have Mary Cherry here. She decided to eat a soup.
She's having a soup. Hi, She's Mary. She's having a nice lentil. Mary Cherry's in
the house. Mary Cherry, become the legend.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me. It's been a long time since I think it was 2019.
Last time you were on the show, you came to our studio in person in LA.
Yeah.
And you came in full drag because you were like, we're doing a photo. So I'm going to be in full drag for my appearance. And it was early in the morning.
It was very early.
And you were wearing a heel.
Yeah, you should have been a heel for a seated photo. I love that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm someone that's like, you know, you got to do it all, you know? I don't say no to most things, like, and I always want to show the best I can when, you know, I'm trying to show face. And thanks for the 500 followers I got from your show.
Oh, word. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We love that.
Now, how many have you lost since this episode came out? We'll get to it.
I think I lost about 40, and I'm like, bye.
So, Mary, we started off our podcast episode saying that we were both screaming at the TV, enjoying ourselves. This was such a good episode of Dragula. Yep. I know that there was a lot that you probably were seeing for the first time, right? A lot that you were experiencing because they don't send you a cut ahead of time.
Of course, yeah.
But from an outsider's standpoint, this was great TV. This was like pitch perfect reality competition TV. We had a blast.
Good. I'm glad. That's like what's important. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you feel when you saw it?
Yeah. What were your feelings?
I feel so first things first, I want to say that I love the Boulez brothers. Like they, I should turn that off.
Are they texting you right now?
That's them being like, don't talk to those two faggots.
No. I respect them and our friendship that I've had with them for almost a decade, you know?
Yeah.
And also the cast and the crew, majority of the cast. But my experience watching this episode was like, well, first, I never want to be someone that's like, oh, I blame it on the edit, because I think that's bullshit.
Right.
Because I said what I said, and I would say it again. But I thought the cutbacks were a little harsh, you know? Like,
oh, when you said...
I would never, because they got me again. I was like, oh, girl, ah! They got you. That was so...
They were like, you have.
Yeah. I was like, wowzers. You know, that kind of was... Even though I did say that, I do feel that anyone that can actually think about or can hear would know that, even though I did say that, I feel that where I was coming from was very different than where Sigourney was coming from when we both said it. Because I was
Interesting, because we were saying that it felt almost similar, because you were... Yeah, because you were, it seemed like you were a little bit fed up with Coco, and you were like, let's hope for the best, let's hope for the best. And it seemed like she was fed up with you saying the same thing.
See, that's interesting, because that's not how I felt. I felt like I was trying to build, I can see how, you know, everyone has their interpretation, but I just know how I felt at that moment. And I was literally frustrated with Coco, without a doubt, but I was trying to build her up, but I guess, you know, I learned from the confessionals that was not happening whatsoever. And she was hating me the entire time, which was something I didn't know until later on.
Oh, that was a new development for you.
Oh yeah, I had no idea. I thought we were good, we were working together, and even though there were some really rough patches, I thought everything was cool between us, and I learned differently as time progressed.
Interesting. Now,
could I ask you, did you watch this alone before you watched it at your viewing party?
This one, knowing what was going to happen, I had to watch with my best friend in San Francisco while I was there. Just because I just knew there were moments where, you know, I talked about my grandmother, for example, and I just knew they were going to put that in there, and they didn't. And I was just like a crying mess. During that, and I was very nervous about showing myself so broken down, you know?
Yeah, I did have a question about that, because when you guys were in the, I'm sorry, when y'all were in the cauldron, Sigourney, or one of you had brought up, like, we connected, we were speaking about our dead family.
Yeah, I said
that.
And
I was like, that's the first I'm hearing of her mother dying, I think.
Right.
Unless she's mentioned it in previous episodes. I was like, that's the first I've heard of this. And I never saw that conversation happen. So I have no clue what y'all are fighting about now.
Well, that happened off camera. Us talking about our dead relatives. But I was shocked, and I'm sure you can see it off my face. I was shocked that she was saying that I have not tried to connect with her in some way. And then she was like, well, you've been saying this about me. And I'm like, well, girl, I'm not talking about what I've been saying. I'm talking about how I try to connect with you in the beginning of us filming. And you literally were like a wall. It was a wall. It was a literal wall. And that was my biggest thing, is that I would have a very real moment. And that's one thing I learned. One thing I learned from filming this show is that I am way too honest and upfront for most people. Mm. And it's really, I am in a community of people that are exactly the same way.
Yes.
And I forget when I go away that people aren't equipped to handle what people that like myself put out sometimes, and honesty. And because I had some true honest moments with Sigourney that weren't seen on camera. And it was just, and I even said, I'm like, well, even while I'm talking to you, I feel like there's nothing there. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Everything's okay. And I'm like, okay, girl, well, I
can
tried.
Can I ask you, because when you kept talking about, oh, Sigourney's playing a game, Sigourney's playing a game, Was it unclear for some people that people were behaving differently on and off camera because they were really aware that they were making a TV show?
Was it unclear to me?
Yeah.
No.
Like,
no,
did you know that the motivation was, oh, when the cameras are on, I'm going to be on the TV show. But then when I'm at the house, I'm not going to be on the TV show. So I don't need to be on the TV show when I'm at the house.
First off, I'm extra. So,
we know, Mary. Okay. We've met. No, Meredith. Like,
Meredith, Meredith, we know.
So I was me on and off camera the whole time.
Right.
There was no... So it was so fresh. I love my castmates, but I feel like so many of them were timid, especially in the beginning, which is why it became the Mary Cherry show, okay, for a moment. And then I feel that... And I tried my hardest to bring them out. Like, you saw it with Betty, you saw it with Jade, where I literally was just like, yo, like, where's your passion, you know? And I feel like Betty definitely came out of her shell.
Yes.
Without a doubt. And Jade came out of her shell just in time to stab me in the back.
Because you felt like I pulled you aside, I had a pep talk with you, and then you said my name out there on the floor show.
That's separate, to be honest. Like, that part, even though it was very traumatic, I just felt like it was more the cauldron, where I just felt like she was lying. Mm. Bold face lying.
About
yeah, there was
fights.
A little bit.
Go ahead.
Well, no. I was going to ask us a question about a very specific moment in that
me
fight.
Me too.
Yeah.
Which was when Betty
she's
seemed
sneaking
to
some
be,
soup.
She's having a sip of soup. Betty seemed to have kind of agreed with you in a way that was like, she offered you help and you said no. And everybody in the other, on the
when
other
when you're talking
team,
about making the outfit with
making
Sigourney.
The outfit, yes.
And I said no? I don't think that's what happened.
No. And Betty said that Sigourney said no, that she didn't want your help.
Betty was agreeing with you.
Yeah. Oh, yes,
so
yes.
She agreed with you, and Zavaleta agreed with you.
Yeah.
But Jade seemed to have chosen Sigourney's side.
Yeah, because at that time, Jade was very upset at both. Oh, my God. Betty and I.
Yeah.
This is okay. So this was going to be my question. Did you feel in that fight at the cauldron that you all really actually knew what you were fighting about? Because the way this episode happened, it seemed like no one was going to get along from the beginning on that team. And then it just seemed like everyone was picking a fight with everyone about everything. So by the end of it, it just seemed like it was like, we don't like each other. It didn't seem like there was an actual argument happening. Do you feel like there's an actual argument that was happening?
The argument for in the cauldron you're talking about?
Yeah.
In the cauldron, it was mainly myself and Betty who were like, we were very upset at the leadership of Sigourney. And I was kind of shocked because for me personally, the moment I realized, and some time went by before I realized that so the team leader meant she leads the whole, or not the team leader. What is like? Lead singer. I'm like,
we talked about that previously,
how,
but
Mary.
How Mary?
It was so
Mary.
Explicit. You were the only one. She
was the leader of the
team.
You were the literally the only person who didn't know.
Seven people knew.
I did not realize that. I didn't talk to the other team about Dolly being in the team leader. I didn't know that Dolly was a team leader until later on when I realized that they were teams.
Do you
I
think
no
you just
idea.
Didn't hear it because you wanted to be the leader?
No, babes. I'm so sure. First off, I know how to share a stage. Okay. I do a lot of competitions.
Yeah.
And one way for people not to win is to not share a stage.
Right. Of course.
I was coming from a place that I literally thought, because team lead singer is not, to me, does not sound like you are the leader of the group.
Right. You're a part of the group. That's your job is to sing.
She's singing. That's what I thought that was her job. If they had said the leader of the group, that would have told me that she's the leader.
And we did see that confusion because you you said that to them.
Right.
Yeah, because I was like, what are you talking about? I was so confused by that. And then you don't see this, but when we're on stage practicing, I literally pulled someone aside and asked them, or like I had to get clarification from someone that, yes, that actually is, like, she is the leader.
Like, and someone on production.
Yes. And once I got confirmation, I was like, wow, I'll take it. And you kind of see me say, I'll take a step back. Let's do what you got to do. And like, I'll follow suit. And regardless of what she says, because there was a moment where she did say, like, you still gave me shit. I followed suit and was like, whatever you want, we'll do. And we were working as a team on and off camera. But by then, the damage was already done.
Right.
Right.
So you know, there was so much stress by that time.
Do you? Okay. Obviously, what, Meeple?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Oh, obviously, I mean, so much happened in this episode. Let's take a moment to celebrate your solo floor show look. You look incredible.
Thank you.
That was you came out and I was like, this is the best she's ever looked. But I keep saying each week. It's just incredible to glow up. Someone said that was inspired by who?
Elton
John.
I love Poppy.
Poppy, yeah. Well, you remember her name.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I had a roommate who, like, was obsessed with her. Poppy, yeah, brought that up. And my thing was, like, that's my humor, because I was like, I know people are going to do, like, Kiss and, like, other death metal. I'm going to do Elton John. But also, just learning about Elton John over the years, as, you know, one homosexual would.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that he, I heard a story about how he was, he had some heroin overdose or whatever, and someone put like an EpiPen or something. I don't think they had EpiPens back then in his heart to like make him come back. And he like showed up to the gig with the needle still in his chest. And when I heard that story, I was like, that is the most fucking punk rock thing I've ever heard of.
Mm.
And that's why I chose Elton John. Because also he has like angels and demons. As someone who struggled with drugs, I just felt like that was a very good example of the struggles I had before my stroke, you know?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Mary, you obviously got exterminated. Are you excited for the reunion?
Sorry, there was ham in my mouth.
ham, as Sherry Shepherd says on 30 Rock.
Yes.
Ham.
I'm very excited for the reunion because there's a lot to be said that needs to be said. And I'm ready to just like politely say it as much as possible.
Well, you being polite is not something that I've ever seen or heard before. Exactly. So what is that? What kind of response are you?
I'm a polite person. I'm just very...
You're yelling right now.
See? I'm so mad. I literally said, because someone said...
Pull that away. It doesn't need to be that close.
During the episode, they were like, Mary, you were yelling at me. And I was like, if I was to yell, this whole building would shake. And they didn't put it in. And I'm like, what? That was gold.
That was a good line.
We'll put it in here. Listen, Mary.
And then you'll get a call.
We want to thank you so much for being...
I have one more question. Okay. And it's going to be hard.
Okay.
But I think people are going to get mad at us if we don't ask you.
Okay.
Oh, okay. What is it?
There's a lot of stuff going around. People are accusing you of being a misogynist.
Yes.
And I just want to give you maybe the opportunity to respond to that.
Okay.
Me personally, watching that last episode, I could see how people could say that. There's been a lot of discourse from the very beginning of the season, people saying that not saying that everybody on the cast is a misogynist by bringing up her boobs, by doing little things like that. I don't believe you to be a bigot in any way.
No.
But what do you have to say after watching it and seeing what people are saying?
So after last night, I was just like, misogynist, what? Like, I'm like, do I not understand the meaning of misogynist? Because I thought I did. And so I looked it up, okay, mm-hmm. just so I got a clear understanding of what it is. And misogynist is, well, let me.
You got to get that dictionary out.
Okay. Where is it? Oh, yeah. Here we go. A person who dislikes, despises, or is strongly prejudiced against women. And first off, I don't dislike women. I was a dislike or strongly prejudiced. I do not like Sigourney. Mm-hmm. Okay? She's not yeah. the only one on the cast that I can say that I don't like or I'm not friendly with or whatever, but she's the one that I had the biggest issue. There was a lot of things that I feel happened that made me not like or trust her. And as time progressed, it got stronger and stronger and stronger. I don't think she's a horrible person. She is not for me. She's not my cup of tea. I'm not ordering what's on the menu. And I know she's not. But it's interesting that everything that I had to say to her was to her face, very honest and real, whatever, if she agreed with it or not, if anyone agreed with it. But I have been shocked on all the things she's been saying in the confessionals. And she's like saying it with such anger.
Mm-hmm.
But I never saw that person. I never mm-hmm. saw that person. What she gave us whenever talking about me in the confessionals, I never saw that person. No one ever saw that person.
So she's a homophobe.
No.
Fuck me, God.
Okay.
God, I'm just trying to draw connection.
I mean, that could, see, that's the thing. It's like.
That's the thing. I'm just saying that, like, you disagreeing with one person on the show, I didn't personally, I guess I'm putting my neck out here because I'm going to get dragged. Well, I didn't see you being.
I'll speak after you as the cis white man. So I'll cover
we're
the
just
getting,
two cis
I'll
men.
Cover the getting dragged part. So go ahead.
I have never been a woman, so I don't understand. There might have been microaggressions. There might have been a lot of stuff going on that I just didn't see. But I didn't see you being an outright misogynist. I saw you arguing with another contestant. That's yes. what I saw.
And that's what I thought was happening. It didn't matter if I got into a few other arguments with people. Their gender and their religion and their race had nothing to do with it. Okay.
Yeah, it's the thing of on previous shows that have like drag contestants, if they're all at the time cis, you know, gay men, then that levels the playing field. And when arguments happen, those arguments happen. But in Dragula world, all of the contestants are all different types of people. Mm-hmm. And so anytime, great. Which is great, but yeah. anytime two people argue that are of different groups or identities, yeah. then it's very easy to level the accusation that wasn't just an argument. It was also misogyny, or it was also racism, or it was also another type of bigotry. Yeah. That doesn't mean, as we all know, you know, in the zeitgeist, that the larger part of the way we treat other people is influenced by like these systems of oppression that trickle down. It doesn't mean, like Meatball was saying, that there aren't microaggressions that we don't understand
yeah,
about
for sure.
racism and misogyny and homophobia. Mm-hmm. But I don't think anything from my point, what we saw on the TV show was you were like, oh, that's like a cis woman, so fuck her, and I'm not listening to her.
Absolutely not.
No, it was a clash of personality.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I've been called an N-word and a monkey and all that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what's your favorite hate message you got?
Oh, someone emailed me, which is crazy because I don't know how you got my email.
Oh, okay, wow. Well,
you gave me your email.
No, not
no,
you.
No, that's you. I'm joking.
So stupid. No, someone emailed me, and I think they emailed me because there's no way like for me to like shame them because I've been posting people's letters to me on my Insta story.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, you look like a fucking dried up monkey. Why don't you eat a banana? And die.
Fuck.
And I was like, okay.
You're like, but actually, Eating a banana will help me.
Yeah. Can we make it a banana cream pie?
Okay.
Oh, okay.
She's like, can I get a... Well, listen, Mary.
Thank you so much for being
here. Thank
you
so much. And all I can say about the reunion is, you know, hope for the best.
Can't wait to see it.
Yes. And hope for the best. I just want to say thank you for letting me just have a moment to, like, talk with you guys. I mean, I understand, you guys, this is a crazy show that you don't really know everything that happened.
Yeah. But
at the end of the day, I hope people are entertained and were entertained by me. And for the haters, like, hopefully I'll be in your city soon so I can give you an autographed copy of me in a banana suit.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Wait, I did want to know quickly, why was the madam from the Weird Wild West green? And also, why did she have one eye?
She's an alien.
We really got into that on this show when you walked on the runway. We were like, look how gorgeous that garment is. Why is she green? Why
she's an alien.
So
it's an alien.
She was an alien madam. I got that.
Yeah.
I can't get behind that one eye, Mary. You know, I'm not going to lie to you.
No, the one eye, it was a mistake, but I was like, oh, it'd be different. Oh my God. But at least you could say I tried to, like, go outside my box.
Yes. And you did.
Okay.
You made yourself green. You went outside your box.
You still have the look, right?
Oh, I still have the look.
Oh, you got to wear that.
Wear that look anywhere you go.
Yeah. No, it's a good look. But that's another thing. It's like I really tried very hard to go outside my box of, like, beauty drag for the whole show. And I can't wait to, like, show people what I got to offer.
Well, we love you, Mary. Thank you.
Oh, wait, one more
here.
Thing. Of your teammates were bitches for not telling you that the inside of your ear was green. How dare they?
I knew it was green. It just wouldn't come out. Shut up. It just would not come out. Anyway.
I'll talk to you later.
That's the sign of a true Dragula queen having remnants of a look from 3 days prior still on your body.
Me and Vander used to go shopping downtown, and she would still have glue strips across her head. Like, the glue would not... Oh, Mary's back on the soup.
Well, enjoy your soups, Mary.
All right, bye, babes.
Bye.
You know what, we won't be spooky on the outro. So
thanks so much for listening to Spooky Seconds. We're
not fucking annoying, you stupid idiot.
We talk all the time on this podcast. And we're talking about Dragula season 4. So bibbity boppity boo.
Boo.
Don't bully Mary Cherry. She made great TV.
Yeah, leave her alone.
Sigourney, come on the show whenever
Sigourney,
you want.
If you
we want to talk
on,
to you about your great
get on
drag.
Here and let's talk. You're beautiful. I hope you win. Love your hair.
Truly.
I think she will. All right, goodbye.
Doodle-a-doot-doot forever, dog.
To listen to Sloppy Seconds ad-free and one day early, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus.
Sloppy Seconds is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom.
Hosted by Big Dipper and Meatball. Music, editing, and sound design by William Pitt.
Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Joe Cilio, Brett Boehm, and Alex Ramsey.
Our artwork was drawn by Christian Cimarroni.
And our theme song was written by Mike Malarkey.